Yeah, so greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This Sunday is the 12th Sunday after Pentecost. And last Sunday, Pastor asked us a question. He asked us what we're searching for, if you remember. And he also encouraged us to read Psalm 139. If you did, if you read Psalm 139, you saw that David invited God to search his heart. Well, today we have a story of a woman who was searching for Jesus, and Jesus searches her heart, and he finds faith in her heart. So it's kind of interesting how this kind of ties to last Sunday. Was searching for Jesus, and Jesus searching us. And so with that, we'll read from Matthew 15, beginning with verse 21. Would you please rise for the reading of the gospel text? We read in Jesus' name. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. Amen. Please be seated. These are your words, O gracious Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is everlasting truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Quite a story here. I think it's interesting how this is the Sunday we had all the women come up here and sing to us, and now we have a story of a woman's great faith. Jesus had just been doing a bunch of miracles around the Sea of Galilee. He had fed the 5,000. He had been healing sick people. And he had just been sort of jumped by the Pharisees for something that his disciples did. In the beginning of the 15th chapter here of Matthew, the disciples they went to eat and they didn't wash their hands before they ate. And this was a long-standing tradition of the Jews that they would wash their hands in sort of like a ritual washing before they ate. And so the disciples, or the Pharisees, come to Jesus and they really get after him for his disciples not washing their hands before they ate. And so it's sort of fascinating here how in the 15th chapter of Matthew, Jesus goes from seeming like he's rebelling against Judaism because his disciples weren't following the established rules to becoming like a Jewish extremist. In the end here, when he says, "I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And so we can see there's almost like two different pictures painted here. But the reason is because Jesus is teaching a lesson. Jesus is teaching the Pharisees, the disciples, and us all a lesson about what it is to be a true Jew. And this woman is going to be the sort of the example that he uses. And so Jesus, he withdraws from the place that he was around the Sea of Galilee. And the interesting thing about this word withdrew, the Greek verb that's used here appears 10 times in Matthew, and it's almost always used in the context of like getting away from a bad situation or a threat. So this sort of implies that the Pharisees were threatening Jesus in some way. And so Jesus he's withdrawing and he's just getting away from there. And he goes to this place called Tyre and Sidon, or like Tyre and Sidon are two cities on the Mediterranean Sea. They're pretty close to each other. And so this is like an area that Jesus went to. It's a very interesting history involved with these two cities. And it's very important to the understanding of our text. So I'm going to take a little time to tell you a little bit about Tyre and Sidon and what it means, who this woman actually was. So these were Gentile cities. These weren't part of like the Israelites. They were Gentile cities. And Tyre and Sidon was like, they were former allies of the nation of Israel from the Old Testament. You can read a lot about Tyre and Sidon in the Old Testament, in Samuel and Kings and Chronicles. And basically, they were allies with the Israelites against the Philistines. And the people from Tyre were really good at sailing. They were like port cities, and they were they had a good navy. And so they allied with the Israelites, and they defeated the Philistines. You know, the Tyre and Sidon came from the sea, and the Israelites from the land. And so there was this political alliance they had, which eventually deteriorated, as political alliances do. And so this king of Tyre, Hiram, he even donated a bunch of building materials to build David's palace and also the temple. He taught some of the Israelites how to sail and those sort of things. You can read all this in the Old Testament. It's a real interesting history. But the important thing is that the relationship deteriorated over time, and there was a princess from Tyre whose name was Jezebel. We probably all have heard of her. She married King Ahab of the northern kingdom, and they were, of course, both very idolatrous people, and it caused the Israelites a lot of grief. Their daughter, Ahab and Jezebel's daughter, married the king of the southern kingdom, causing further grief. And so, needless to say, Israel had been burnt a few times by Tyre and Sidon. And an Israelite at Jesus' time would be very well aware of this history. And so this wasn't a place that they really liked. These were people they had bad blood against. And that's where Jesus goes, to Tyre and Sidon, to this region. And it tells us here that there was a Canaanite woman there from that region. In Mark's gospel, Mark calls her a Greek Syrophoenician. Well, here Matthew calls her a Canaanite. And the reason Matthew, I think, calls her a Canaanite is because he's like drawing us back to the Old Testament when Joshua came into the Promised Land and he had to defeat the Canaanites. Joshua and Jesus are the same name. Jesus is like, he's the second Joshua. And so it's almost like Matthew's saying, the first Joshua came and he destroyed all these Canaanite people. What's the second Joshua going to do? Of course, he's not going to destroy her. He's going to save her. He's going to help her. And so she comes to Jesus. She had heard about Jesus. She heard that he could help her. And she had a problem. She needed help. And so the fascinating thing here is that she starts to act like an Israelite. She does very, very Jewish things. She comes to Jesus and she says, "Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." This is like the cry of all the Psalms. Probably the most famous one, Psalm 51, when David is like praying to God and he says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness." So she cries the cry of the Israelites. And she calls Jesus the Son of David, She's calling him the Messiah. And she's like taking this role of being a Jew. And her daughter had this problem. She had this demon in her, and she was being oppressed by a demon. And so this woman, she intercedes for her daughter. And this teaches us something about intercessory prayer. Like when somebody has an issue, we can bring them to Jesus. We can go to Jesus and we can ask for help for someone else. This is exactly what she does. And this displays this great amount of faith that she brings her issue to Jesus. Her daughter is actually the one who needs the help. But what does Jesus do? He's silent. She goes and she says, "Have mercy on me." And Jesus just doesn't even answer her. He's totally silent. You can almost hear the thoughts running through her head, like, is this the right guy? Like, I heard that he could heal me and help me and all this, heal my daughter. Is everything I heard about him true, that he can really do those things? Like, these could be some of the thoughts that she's having. But she doesn't give up. She persists. She sticks to it. Like, the witness that she's heard about Jesus, she knows that this is trustworthy. Like, this is something I can trust. Does this sound familiar, maybe, for any of us? Maybe we've heard good things about Jesus. We come to church. We hear his word. We hear all the promises of God's word, that God helps people. God saves us. And all these things we hear. But maybe we're feeling that he's silent about my issue. Like, there's no answer. Take the lesson of this woman. She just trusts what she's heard about Jesus. This really is a lesson for us to trust the scripture. Trust what the Bible says about Jesus, about God. It's true. You know, we've heard this witness. She had heard, it's been told her that Jesus could help her, and she trusted that was true. And that's exactly what happened. Jesus helped her. So she, in faith, just kept hanging on to that promise that she knew to be true. And the disciples, of course, they just say, let's get rid of her. Like, Jesus, give her what she wants and send her away. It's almost like they're quite annoyed at the fact that she's crying out after us. And they come and beg Jesus to send her away. A lot of times, and actually pretty much all the time, human nature, we don't have time for this stuff. Right, we get frustrated with problems and with people's problems, and you know, being in the ministry, we face that. We all face that as Christians. People come to us with issues and with problems, and it's very easy just to get frustrated and just like, you know, how do we get rid of this person or this issue? And so that's human nature. That's what the disciples are showing here. But Jesus isn't like that. Jesus has time. He has time and he has patience. He's going to see this thing through all the way to the end. He's going to bring a resolution to it and actually help the woman. So Jesus answers his disciples and he says, I was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus reminds the disciples of this fact that he's the Jewish Messiah. And this woman is an outsider. This is a Gentile woman from Tyre and Sidon. She's a stranger to the covenants of promise, like Paul talks about that stuff in Galatians. This woman is not of the nation of Israel. But what is the woman's response in this test of her faith? What's her response to Jesus saying this to the disciples? Does she say, oh, that's right, I'm not an Israelite. I guess I'll just go home because I can't be helped. No. She bows in a position of worship. It says that she came and she bowed, knelt before him, and says, Lord, help me. So she cries out again, even stronger, for help. She's not giving up. Faith doesn't give up on the promises of God. Faith holds on to them and clings on to them. And it never gives up. She simply won't take no for an answer. She won't take no. Even though it's Jesus seems to be saying no and seems to be reluctant to helping her, she won't hear it. She just says, I know he's good. I've heard that he's good. I know he's able to help me. I'm just going to keep clinging on to it. And this is how we need to be with the promises of God. Just hold on to them for everything. Even when they don't seem to be being answered, when there's silence, even when it seems like this shouldn't even belong to me, I'm an outsider, she still clings on to his promises. And the response to her pleading with Jesus, Lord, help me, Jesus turns to her and he says, it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. So Jesus is making sure that she's aware of the whole situation. You realize that what you're doing is a very bold thing, right? I came to feed the children, the Jews. Like, I came for the Jewish people. You're outside of this. You're a dog. You're a Gentile. Like, this isn't even something you rightfully could claim. Why would I give you the stuff that rightfully belongs to the Jews? And how does she react to this? To being called a metaphorical dog? Does she go home offended at this? She doesn't. She actually takes it and embraces it. She just uses it. This is what faith does. Faith takes every situation and it just looks for the promises of God. It looks for who God actually is and his character. And so she turns this whole thing into how God can help her. How can she be helped by Jesus? She says, yes. Okay, I'm willing to admit that. Yeah, I'm a dog. I'm outside of this nation of Israel. All that stuff is true. But she says, even the dogs, they eat from the crumbs that fall from their master's table. So she's like, even still, I can have some of this. I can have some of this. This is what faith does. Faith is, it looks to the promises of God. She didn't let her circumstances change what she knew about Jesus. Faith looks beyond everything, including our own unworthiness, to the promises of Jesus and to Jesus himself. Jesus praises her faith. It's like you could almost see Jesus is like pretending to be all serious, and he's like, he's testing her faith here. And you could almost see at this point his maybe serious face would melt into a smile. And he's like, you know, I see faith in this woman. And he says, oh woman, great is your faith. You have a lot of faith. You pass the test. Your faith was tested in a very, very serious way. And you still are looking to me. We heard in our scripture reading that without faith, it is impossible to please God. That he that comes to God must believe that he is, that he exists, and that he is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. To believe that God is able to help you. And that's exactly what this woman showed us. And then, of course, what happens? Her daughter is healed immediately, instantly. Jesus says, be it done for you as you desire. Faith clings to Jesus. This woman, she clung to Jesus, and she knew he could help her, and Jesus helped her. So brothers and sisters, be like this woman. Cling to Jesus. Cling to Jesus doggedly, like this woman did, with this dogged faith that she had. She was never giving up. And she was very bold in coming to Jesus. God's word tells us that we can boldly draw near to the throne of grace. We can come boldly in faith, knowing who God is, knowing who Jesus is. And we can fully expect that he is merciful, just as he was for this woman. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we're so thankful for your grace and for your kindness. Lord, we pray that you would strengthen our faith, that we can be just as this woman, that we can come boldly to you with all of our needs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.